Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, giving you a preview of the upcoming weekend, of course, in the NFL. Lots of injury news and notes. We'll help you set some lineups in daily fantasy as well. And, of course, recap the Thursday night game in a very interesting situation going down right now with the New Orleans Saints. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. 2 hours of fantasy sports talk. Davis, a wild couple days here for baseball for me. Good to be back with you, though, here on this Friday. What's going on?
Yeah, I miss you, you know, when you were, calling everyone you could get a hold of, all the GMs, all the guys in the Players Association. George and I held down the fort the best we could, but we miss you and glad to have you back because now there's not going to be a whole lot for you to talk about on the baseball front. The hot stove has been turned off due to, the labor negotiations.
Yeah, it's really funny because you do mention the people that I talk to in the industry. And the big question that I got yesterday was, what are you going to do now that there's no baseball to talk about? I'm like, are you kidding me? For the last 7 months straight, I've been doing fantasy football discussion every single day for 2 hours, and I'm going to dive right back into that again. And so that's where we are. So, yes, busy week for me, but happy to be back with you guys here on Friday. Also, I'll be with you guys Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, hosting Pro Football Today. Here are our headlines as we begin the show. On the 3rd of December, 2021, the Cowboys get back on track, sort of, I think. I don't know. I'll get Davis' thoughts on that. They beat New Orleans 27-17. The Memphis Grizzlies won by 73 last night over Oklahoma City. Suns win their 18th game in a row. I don't know when they're ever going to lose. And then yesterday, after a false positive earlier in the week, LeBron James is expected back tonight for the Lakers. And we'll check in with Brett coming up just a little bit later on that. So, Davis, I guess we can start real briefly. I know we're going to do fantasy standouts, but the game last night in the NFL, and look, yes, I mean, Dallas sort of got right. I mean, they played against a really bad team from the outcome. And again, in what I saw probably like half the game. I mean, Taysom Hill was just throwing picks like all over the place. And I know for fantasy purposes, it still works out, especially if you don't lose points for interception. But Saints are pretty much done, I think, at this point. But confidence-wise for Dallas, they won, they covered, but I didn't get that sense. It's like, give me NFC Championship, give me Super Bowl from that performance.
No, I mean, I think they won kind of ugly. The offense, they did their job, but this should have been a spot where Dak should have thrown for 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, it's not like the Saints were doing anything to really make them uncomfortable. They just didn't really execute. They went 0-for-5 on third and fourth down under 5 yards. That means you just got to get 5 yards, get a first down, and they went 0-for-5 in those situations, which is, basically the opposite of how the Cowboys have been for a majority of this year. I do think, though, that maybe the mark of this Cowboys team is this could have very easily been a game that the Jason Garrett Cowboys lose this game, right? Where the offense is kind of scuffling a little bit. They have a quarterback who is making his first start of the year that there's not a ton of film on. Like, this is totally a game that I think the old Cowboys would have lost. Had they lost that game and the Washington football team won this weekend, I think maybe they would have had to start, sweating under the collar a little bit about winning the division. But now I think, and the Eagles are going to get a win this weekend. The Giants are going to get a loss. So they still are going to have to run the string out. I don't think they'll be resting anyone. But they seem fine. Like, they're definitely not the best team in the NFL the way that we thought maybe they were a month ago.
Yeah, and then look, there's still several weeks left, so I would say it's not a foregone conclusion. Oklahoma City doesn't appear to me to be the worst team in the NBA. I know it's close, but to lose by 73, I mean, this goes back with all my years watching in the NBA as well. That's I mean, that's a pretty staggering number there last night. I guess they did not cover.
they did not cover. So what happened was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is in the concussion protocol. He is, I mean, you know, he's their best player by a mile. Mm-hmm. And Josh Giddey, their first round draft pick, the guy that Brett was telling us about, that I was like, I don't want them to take Josh Giddey. I want them to take Kuminga. Well, Josh Giddey's been really good. He was out too. And then Derek Favors, who is either their starting center or their backup center, he plays about 20 minutes a night for them. He was out as well. I believe the average starting age of the guys who started last night for the Thunder, I think Lugans Dort was the oldest player. He's 24 years old. Four of their starters last night, or three of their starters last night, were rookies, then a third-year player and a second-year player. So, basically, it was just like the Oklahoma City G League squad playing. But it was, I did a tweet during the Cowboys game because, you know, not that many people are watching the NBA when a Thursday night football game is on. And I said, meanwhile, in the NBA, and it was a screenshot of the Memphis Grizzlies literally being up 50 points in the third quarter. Mm. I mean, just absurd.
Yeah, I mean, the young kids couldn't have lost by 47 yesterday, you know, like that wouldn't have been
right.
enough. Losing by 73, I mean, that's just
I know.
An insane John number
Morant
for sure.
Even playing. John Morant not even playing for the Grizzlies.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Unbelievable. Okay, so we're off and running. Let me set you up for the rest of the show here. Of course, Davis is going to have his core plays for DraftKings, for those of you setting lineups for Sunday and DFS. Jim Sannis will join us a little bit later in the show, and we will take a look at the FanDuel angle there. And we're also going to talk about quarterbacks here on the show, who may play, who may not play.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So all of that and a whole lot more, including our fantasy standout from Thursday night football. So stay on the grid for that. Of course, we're here Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern, right here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. So before you go anywhere, stay on the grid as Davis and I will return here on this Football Friday. Go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
'27-17, Dallas beats New Orleans in New Orleans, more or less sort of ending their season, I think, last night. Saints basically have to win out or come close to it to get into the playoffs in this wacky year where the Giants and Washington have sort of put themselves back in the playoff race. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from last night. Dak Prescott, 26 of 40, 238 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Tony Pollard, clearly the better running back in that game last night. 71 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 3 yards. He also scored a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb had a rush. He also, I think it was for like 20 yards, also had a 7 receptions for 89 yards in this game. Michael Gallup, very early on, looked great and then slowed down, but he had 5 receptions, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Not much for Amari Cooper. And Dalton Schultz had 5 receptions for 43 yards. And maybe things were just disjointed a little bit, of course. The Cowboys had some COVID issues that kept their coaching staff off the field. Dak Prescott talked about the team sort of rallying together and did it with a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans who showed up in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, as I just said, credit to Dan Quinn, all the coordinators, Kellen, himself, Bones, and all the leaders and just guys on this team that played a huge part in making sure that we're able to fill that void and then just coming on a tough atmosphere in the road crowd here in New Orleans. And I also credit the Cowboy fans for traveling well and making this a great atmosphere. All the Cowboy chants and just knowing that we were well represented felt good. I know the players felt it, so it was huge. It was great to break the skid and just to get back rolling.
On the side of the Saints, Taysom Hill got the start at quarterback and fantasy-wise made the most of it. numbers were ugly, but the fantasy numbers are pretty good. 264 passing yards, completing less than 50% of his passes. And of course, the big number is 101 rushing yards. And he also had two touchdowns. As I mentioned, four interceptions. So losing points for picks definitely changed the outcome there if you have that in your scoring league. Ty Montgomery, yeah, I mean, not much happening for the Saints running game. 21 rushing yards, four receptions, 9 yards. Deontay Harris had four receptions, 96 yards and a touchdown. And Lil Jordan Humphrey had two receptions, 49 yards and one touchdown. All right, so Davis, let's start off with Dallas. We saw some reports before the game that Amari Cooper didn't look like he was working all that much on the field. I thought he looked fine in that game yesterday, just didn't get maybe the targets he's used to. CeeDee Lamb with a nice big second half of this game. And look, I think we just sort of have to come to terms at this point. Either Ezekiel Elliott is hurt or has just received so many carries through the year that he's just not going to look like maybe the Zeke of a couple of years ago. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely hurt. And the coaching staff told us that. They said, I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but Mike McCarthy said, look, we got to start easing his workload a little bit. And then, of course, we got the head fake from Jerry Jones where he went on the radio in Dallas and said, oh, he's going to get a serious load against the New Orleans Saints. That turned out to not be true because he just was really not effective at all in this game. And Pollard had the huge touchdown run. Also, the Cowboys did tell the truth about Amari Cooper. You know, we got the report pregame that he was mostly going to be out there kind of on like third downs and stuff. He played 34% of the snaps, and Malik Turner played 24%, and Noah Brown played 12%. So those guys kind of rotated as the third wide receiver. They also played more of their second tight ends than they have in any game this season. Sean McKeon and Jeremy Sprinkle getting in there a little bit. Amari's got 10 days, or I guess 9 days, until next Sunday to work on his conditioning. So I'm not too worried about Cooper. I do think that was just kind of a one-time thing. And Dak did throw 40 times in this game. Was not his usual, very efficient self. 40 passing attempts, 238 yards, 6 yards per attempt. 13 targets for CeeDee Lamb in this game. I mean, he got tackled on the 1 yard line and got caught from behind on another one. But I mean, he could have 30, 35 fantasy points here pretty easy. Then on the side of the Saints, I know I could not have been alone in feeling lucky to get one more week out of Mark Ingram as a waiver wire pickup. But basically, Mark Ingram just did exactly what Tony Jones Jr. did last week. Tony Jones Jr. got 16 carries, got 27 yards, 10 carries for Ingram, 28 yards, and wasn't really targeted in the passing game either. It was Ty Montgomery who was playing the passing down. 7 targets for Montgomery in the passing game, only 2 for Ingram. And Kamara got in a limited practice on Monday. So I think with the long week, you know, they got 9 days off here. I think we can anticipate Kamara being back. If you do happen to be in the fantasy football playoffs with him, I do think he'll be back next week.
All right. So two subjects on the Saints let's get to here. Taysom Hill. I assume that he probably starts the remainder of the season for the Saints because they're going to want to take a good look at him. Do you think he is startable? And the second part of this is that this, I think personally, what I took out of this is somebody that I've been playing on and off all season long, Davis, which is Marquez Callaway. A really good lesson in fantasy football, once again, that you can't ignore the preseason, but he was drafted, obviously, way too high. This guy barely gets on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Callaway, I think Callaway had a nice little run of usefulness before Traquan Smith returned from his injury. But Traquan Smith is kind of the more dominant outside wide receiver. And then Deontay Harris only plays about 35-40% of the snaps for the Saints because of how they run their offense. They like to have two tight ends out there quite a bit. But when they do go into 11 personnel, Harris comes in. And Deontay Harris is actually one of the 10 best guys in the NFL in terms of targets per route run, which sounds more complex than it is. It's really like when you run a route, how often or how likely are you to be targeted? And Deontay Harris, you know, clearly leads the Saints in that metric. So and honestly, even Traquan, you know, playing 90% of the snaps, getting like 6 targets a game, he is not really that useful. I don't think any of these Saints wide receivers are really guys I would want to be starting in fantasy because Taysom just takes all the touchdowns for himself. 11 rushes, gets to 100 yards, does throw 2 passing touchdowns, but the more likely distribution you would expect from him is going to be more rushing touchdowns. And Taysom, guy can throw four picks a game and eat a bunch of sacks, and he's still going to be a fantasy starter unless you play in a format that really penalizes interceptions or penalizes sacks. And I do actually play in a super flex league that does that, where you get it's -4 for an interception, -6 for an interception that goes for a touchdown. But I mean, honestly, even in that format, Taysom is still a starter because he runs so much.
So what do you think the Saints do? I mean, they committed to him again financially for next year. I can't imagine that he is the starting plan. But Davis, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose, look, we'll look at where Russell Wilson is. We'll look at where Watson is. We're looking at where Aaron Rodgers is. But I can't imagine that no matter what this audition looks like, that Hill is the starter next year. Can you?
No, I can't imagine that either. And I think probably they you definitely won't want to hear this, but they'll just want to bring Jameis back. When Jameis got hurt, Jameis led the NFL in expected points per play, which feels like a lie, but it is true. In the game, in games where he played, he was very efficient. And the Saints, I think, you know, they had designed, honestly, very similar to what the Patriots do. They designed a really low volume offense. They ran the ball a lot. But the difference is Jameis, you know, he still does have that ability to take shots. I mean, we saw that first game of the season, he had the 5 touchdown passes. Jameis led the NFL in percentage of passes thrown that ended in touchdowns, you know, TD rate per pass attempt, which is, you know, I think a pretty good fit for him. Because what did we say for all of Jameis's career? We just needed a coach who could reel him in a little bit. And, you know, they lost a little bit of that Jameis magic that he had in Tampa Bay. He was never throwing for 5,000 yards. But I mean, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? What about Jimmy Garoppolo leaving San Francisco and going to the Saints? I think that's one I could see playing out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just the whole, you know, the whole Taysom thing has been very bizarre. But I think the biggest takeaway, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, without a doubt, no matter how many picks he throws, 100 rushing yards from a running back in most leagues is 10 points. 200 passing yards in most leagues is 5 or 6 points at the very minimum. And then you add the 2 touchdowns in, and they're going to offset the interception. So he's a 20-point.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Fantasy player in offense, and Taysom Hill outperformed fantasy-wise Dak Prescott. It's point blank. All right, we'll talk more quarterbacks next. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not necessarily quarterback controversies this week in fantasy football, but quarterback questions, to say the least, in several places, including Chicago and Philadelphia. And so we're going to dive into some of these this week as we're sort of left wondering if the quarterbacks are playable in fantasy this week. And Davis, let's start off with the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts was banged up in last week's game, one of the tougher games for him, by the way, over the course of his career. Their choices this week would be to play Jalen Hurts with a little bit of a dinged ankle, that's for sure, or Minshew Mania is back with Philadelphia. Gardner Minshew is their backup. He's been limited all week as Jalen Hurts with an ankle injury, and he was asked about his injury status and also asked about coming back late in games and sort of taking a little bit of time to get going.
Yeah, I mean, as I just said, credit to Dan Quinn, all the coordinators, Kellen, himself, Bones.
Okay. We'll get back to Jalen Hurts here talking about this week's game coming up, and here it is.
You guys know I'm dealing with something. It's the first one you guys have known. So continue to deal with it and move forward and get ready for this week's game.
You mentioned patience, Jalen. Do you have to be patient during the week to make sure your optimal for game day? Do you have to switch anything as far as making sure scale back a little bit so you're ready for Sunday?
Yeah, when I was referring to patience, I was referring to just my overall game. My overall game and being patient and taking what they give me. You know, no coach told me you never go broke taking a profit. And I know there's a lot of opportunities in last week's games and even some games before where, you know, just take what they give you. So that's something that I've kind of jotted down. I've taken that coaching. I've taken the great coaching that the coaches have given me. And I'm excited for this week.
Well, though, something tells me, Davis, that Jalen Hurts is going to play this week and play very well. He has not had two back-to-back bad fantasy games this season. And I sort of, in fantasy and even in sports betting, I love buying low at the lowest point of a player. And I think last week was that point for Hurts.
No, I think you're right. And, I mean, really, if you're talking about a get-right spot, it's hard for it. It's hard to find a better get-right spot than Brett Levy's New York Jets. I mean, maybe the Houston Texans, maybe the Detroit Lions. You know, the Eagles already steamrolled over the Detroit Lions. I think you're right. I do think Jalen Hurts is going to play. I don't think he'll be quite 100%, but one of the, you know, Jalen Hurts is kind of an enigma as a quarterback. Sometimes he can look amazing. I would imagine that he does not practice all that well because he is such a gamer. And that's kind of the feeling I get from Nick Sirianni and the Eagles coaching staff is that they see him in practice and they don't end up that impressed by him. But he just makes things happen in games. I mean, look, they could have won last week. The guy put the ball where it needed to be for Jalen Reagor two times, and Reagor dropped both of them. So I do think he will play. Though I guess scale of 1 to 10, I'd be like a 6 surprised if Gardner Minshew starts because, again, I think the Eagles can still feel that they can win this game against the Jets even if Minshew did start.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, but I think the Eagles are sort of up against it now every game the rest of the year. So I don't know, but we're definitely something to monitor for sure. If Hurts is playing, I'd be using him everywhere. I agree with you. That why the Jets' defense has been so poor is a little perplexing with the defensive coach. Their offense actually been okay in different spots, especially when Mike White was there for that one game. All right, well, I think a little bit more definitive with Chicago going into this week, not the answer that we want, but the answer that we're going to get. It looks like Andy Dalton is going to make another start after that win on Thanksgiving. I mean, this coaching staff is fighting for their jobs. They don't care if they win 9-7. Justin Fields didn't practice for most of the week, and Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, talked yesterday more about Andy Dalton than he did about Justin Fields.
Well, Andy has seen a lot, and he's probably over time been tricked and fooled like all quarterbacks get at some point. And so we all learn from experience. Wisdom comes from experience. And so you got a guy who's I don't want to say seen it all. That's an exaggeration, but seen a lot. And so He can foresee some things that are happening, especially if something comes up that maybe we didn't see on tape and didn't plan for. You know, I think this defensive coordinator was actually with Andy in Cincinnati, so they know each other. They've known each other a long time, and he's played against them in the past since then. So there could be some things that pop up, you know, from them knowing each other. I think that experience over time hopefully gets you to the point where you're not surprised. One of the great things a quarterback has to be able to do is learn quickly and react and adjust. Sometimes something happens on the game field you're not ready for, and it might come up again before you get to the sideline or maybe before halftime. And so I think Andy's experience allows him to be ready to make the adjustment fast, sometimes without the ability to come talk to the coaches.
Sounds like Andy Dalton is the guy this week based on some of the comments from Bill Lazor and some of the other players, by the way, on the Bears. Listen, it's a big line here. The line is 7, 7.5. Could I see the Bears keeping it close, Davis? Of course. It's the NFL. Dogs have been covering at an insane rate. Do I think the Bears are going to win the game outright? Probably not. And then I think we will get Fields back, I would guess, next week. Every game the rest of the season, because that's what the Bears should do. But they've wanted to not do what they should have done all season long, so I can't guarantee that. But if I had to guess, Bears show up this week in some way, maybe keep the game close, maybe not. I don't care. Arizona wins by a little, by a lot. I don't know. And then finally the Bears are like, all right, that's it. Let's just play Fields the rest of the way. But I think they probably could play Fields this week, but they still like holding out this hope that they can still win.
No, I think you are. I think you are 100% correct. I think that is exactly kind of what they are thinking. I think that, you know, they're looking at the NFC playoff standings and they're saying, well, look, I mean, we're really not that far out of it. You know, they are 4-7. But right now, the 5-6 Washington football team or the 5-6 Minnesota Vikings, I don't know who owns the tiebreaker there, but those teams are in the playoffs right now for the second wild card. And the Bears, I think, could look at their schedule. And if they wanted to be optimistic, they could say, all right, we get this game against the Cardinals. We're going to talk who's starting at quarterback there. They get to play divisional games twice against the Vikings. That might be, you know, that week 18 game, if things go right, might be a playoff game for them. That's what they're thinking. I don't think that is intelligent thinking, but that is definitely what they are thinking. So I think you're right. I do think Andy Dalton is going to play this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. And I don't know. I mean, remember we did the preseason. I had the over on the Bears team total. Mm-hmm. I mean, boy, do I feel dumb, because it was all based on the idea that the offense would be structured to fit Justin Fields. And then all the first team reps all offseason were given to what, 33, 34 year old Andy Dalton. I mean, like, what's the point? I don't know. I feel in retrospect, I feel very stupid about trusting Matt Nagy to do the right thing.
Yeah. And look, it's fleeting, but that's not to say that that Fields could play the rest of the year after this week. I genuinely do think he will. Maybe it'll be a forced hand in some way, but you got to see him play. Okay. Finally, look, this was a slam dunk start for a month, so I'm not willing even to do it anymore at this point. I don't get it. Kyler Murray's missed a month. Still basically questionable going into the week. Limited in practice. Hasn't played since October? I mean, is that right? Like, he has not played in a long time. And look, I know going into the season, that was your one thing. Like, it's just, if Kyler is healthy, he's the number one guy, or he's the number two guy, or, you know, in that conversation. We no longer can say that anymore. I mean, this is how many years in a row? Is this 3 years in a row that he's missed a little bit of time? I mean, I'm going to assume that they're just playing this coy game again going into this week, but, like, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, Kyler talked, by the way, this week, too, and seemed to indicate that he was ready to play, but I don't know. Like, I can't make that assumption.
So actually, Kyler, the problem with Kyler has not been availability. The problem has been the last 2 years, they were not a good enough team to survive at all without him. So he just played. He had a similar ankle injury as a rookie. He had a shoulder injury last year, and he just played through both of those injuries. Now, I think they look at their offense, right? AJ Green, Zach Ertz, Christian Kirk is playing well. Rondale's got this good role. The defense is actually really good. And I think Cliff and Kyler, you know, probably were like, look, we can probably survive some of these games without you. So why don't you actually try to get healthy so we can maybe go win a Super Bowl, which, you know, it feels like there's a lot of hubris in that conversation, but I don't know. I mean, right now they are sitting at they're leading the division. And, you know, they kind of watched the Buccaneers lose some games. Maybe they should have won. They've watched the Cowboys lose some games. They should have won, you know, that Denver game, that Raiders game. And nobody believes in the Packers. I don't even think in their heart of hearts, you know, I don't even know if LaFleur and Rodgers believe in the Packers, given how they've left the playoffs the last couple of years. So I think it's going to end up working out, because Kyler, the big difference between Kyler this year and last year is the running is not even really part of Kyler's game anymore. I mean, the most he's run for in a game this year is 39 yards, hasn't rushed for a touchdown since week 3, and he was still incredible passing the ball. So I'm pretty bullish on them. I actually think they really, and that's even with Cliff not being a very good head coach. You know, a head coach I don't really believe in. But I think he'll be back here. I think the line is telling us. The line is telling us, by the way, that Dalton's playing and that Kyler is playing, which is, that's nice for fantasy football to get Kyler back.
Yeah, it definitely will be. And look, the other team that you didn't mention that right now you certainly don't feel good about are the Rams. Like, what in the world has happened to the Rams? They looked amazing in September, And then the calendar changed and they started losing. And then now all of a sudden.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Sudden, you get whispers of Stafford with his back. Odell Beckham could be hurt this week. Maybe Henderson too. Be back with more FS Team. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, and head on over to Twitter if you are watching on your phone or you're watching on a mobile device, and follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information and picks against the spread from all of our shows, including The Early Line, The Morning After, our show here, Fantasy Sports Today. Scott Farrell, Gabe Morency, all of our hosts are talking, and whatever we're saying is being posted there at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. All right, so Davis, before we get into some of the pricing here on DraftKings, I know we go over our core plays here that you like on Friday. Just like I do with Jim Sannis, I'll ask you the same thing. Overall theme for the week from you, how does the slate look this week?
Yeah, overall theme this week, and this will be true on FanDuel as well, but you are spoiled for choice at the running back position. There are basically guys at every price point who project really strong. We have, you know, Antonio Gibson, Jonathan Taylor, and we'll go through these options a little bit more in depth. So that is a big theme. And then also, and this is will not be true on FanDuel, but Foster Moreau is priced at $2,700 on DraftKings. So it's just going to – you have a lot more roster flexibility this week with, you know, not having to hone in on an expensive tight end.
Okay. All right, so let's get started, and let's take a look at Davis's options here at quarterback. Again, as I said earlier in the show – I mean, listen, fantasy, betting, it's all about buy low. Lamar Jackson, coming off the absolute worst game of his career, should be a good option this week. 7,800. Okay, but I'll dive more into that. Tom Brady, 7,200. And then Justin Herbert. Is this right? 5,700 from Justin Herbert this week? Boy, that seems really low for him. But the only thing that I would say about with Jackson, Davis, is that I feel like history has told me no matter what the stakes are between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, the game is 16-13 in the end. I feel like this has been going on now for 10 years. I don't know. Maybe it won't be this week, but I sort of always get that feeling with those games.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, these games are brutal a huge chunk of the time. However, you are definitely having the field account for that. You know, most weeks when you come in to look at, okay, who is going to be the most owned quarterback, Lamar Jackson is always going to be close, but he is going to be much closer to, you know, probably 5 to 8% owned in tournaments this week. And he is our highest projected starting quarterback, as he should always be, because since Michael Vick, no quarterback has ever offered the rushing stuff that Lamar has. And even Vick was not as much of a goal line rusher as Lamar Jackson has been. Tom Brady is the second highest projected quarterback and is definitely going to be the most owned. It's very easy to double stack him this week. Evans, Godwin, Rob Gronkowski coming off that huge game last week. And you're right, that is a typo with Justin Herbert there. He is 6,700. Still, I think, a really attractive price. And the main reason why is I do love that game. But also, he's really been running. Over the last month of the season, he has accounted for 22% of the Los Angeles Chargers rushing attempts, which is, that's huge, right? That's going from being like a Kirk Cousins style quarterback to being like a Dak Prescott, of like 2019 style rusher. So I really, really like Justin Herbert for tournaments. He's probably my favorite tournament quarterback this week.
Yeah, it feels by design. I think 90 yards rushing 2 weeks ago and almost 40 yards rushing last week. Maybe that's more part of what they're trying to do. Okay, at running back, of course, Jonathan Taylor has the best matchup on paper. I wish that was always the case, but he plays against Houston. Alexander Mattison, 7,900 with no Cook there. Leonard Fournette coming off a massive week. He is 7,300. Elijah Mitchell coming off a 100-yard performance against Seattle this week. And then James Conner for Arizona, he's at 5,900. I believe Edmonds is due, by the way, back next week, if I'm not mistaken. So Conner just doesn't seem to stop scoring touchdowns. So I guess you could just count on that and maybe a little more.
No, yeah, it does feel like James Conner is just destined to score touchdowns, but it is an interesting week because Jonathan Taylor, you know, he is the highest projected player at running back, wide receiver, or tight end of the entire slate. However, you know, normally a guy projected with that many points, and the salary is not absurd, you know, at 9,200, it's high, but we've seen, you know, Christian McCaffrey at 10,000, the old David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell in 2016, those guys got way up there. Jonathan Taylor is producing an equivalent clip with those guys, but not quite priced up there. However, you see, we are just spoiled for options here. Alexander Mattison on his two starts this year with no Dalvin Cook. He got over 25 fantasy points in both of those. He's 7,900. Leonard Fournette coming off of the best game of his career, four touchdowns. He's got a 17% target share over the last month of the season with no Antonio Brown. Eli Mitchell, great matchup here as a favorite against that awful Seahawks defense. They're and no Debo, by the way, to take away some of those extra carries. James Conner, you mentioned it, gets Kyler back, huge favorite against the Bears. But it doesn't even, Greg, it doesn't even really stop there. We have Antonio Gibson, who's 5,700. J.D. McKissick might not play, and even with McKissick active, Gibson had his career high in touches last week. We have Jamal Williams with DeAndre Swift declared out. We have Daryl Henderson Jr. as a 10-point favorite against Jacksonville. Like, just absolutely spoiled for choice at the running back position this week.
Yeah, no, definitely stacked this week, no doubt. All right, let's head over to wide receiver. And we have, look, if you're going to pick Herbert, you got Keenan Allen as a stack matchup there at 7,500. Deontay Johnson of Pittsburgh, 6,800. Chris Godwin is 6,000. And hey, look, we got T. Higgins back on the board, 5,800 after his big win last week. And then Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers is 5,600. I feel like there's a name missing from this. I'm actually shocked. I think that you have, when we go over this on Friday, I don't remember a Friday where you haven't had Jalen Waddle listed. And it's hit like every time. I'm stunned to not see Waddle's name here on a Friday.
Well, they finally hiked his price up a little bit. You know, pretty much all season they had him 5,400, 5,600, 5,800. He has gotten over $6,000 for the first time. He's now 6,400. And of course, Jalen Waddle is going to remain a very strong play. You know, no question about that. However, you know, if you're asking yourself, do you want to play Jalen Waddle for 6,400 or Chris Godwin for 6,600? You, of course, got to side with Chris Godwin there. Keenan Allen, you know, our friend J.J. Zacharias in the late round quarterback from NumberFire shared this statistic yesterday that Keenan Allen now he's averaging 486 yards per touchdown because he's got two touchdowns and he's got just a hair over 900 yards. That is like way off of the league average. League average is one touchdown about once every 120 yards. So we are expecting some positive regression there. I mentioned a little bit earlier, I do really like Justin Herbert for tournaments this week. I think Keenan Allen's a great pair with him. Deontay Johnson, he's got 12 targets in every game since Juju Smith-Schuster. I believe he hurt his knee and he went on the IR. Chris Godwin, bad game last week, but does lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in targets. They have the highest team total of the week. And our guy, T. Higgins, I swore off of him last week. 6 for 115 and a touchdown. I think we all knew that was going to happen. And then Brandon Ayuk looking like just a super strong play with no Debo Samuel in this matchup against the Seahawks. And I'm kind of wondering if they might decide to give Ayuk a little bit of those rushes that they were giving Debo Samuel of. If we can roll the clocks all the way back to last year, Brandon Ayuk's first NFL touchdown was actually a rushing touchdown, not a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, going over some of the picks this week, I got to say that Seattle, to me, looks like the most interesting pick this week. I don't understand how this line is only 3. Something is up. Something is up. Seattle is going to win this week. I don't know why.
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson. Yeah, I don't know what is up with this game this week, but I mean, I got San Francisco as at least a touchdown better than Seattle. So I'm having a feeling Seattle's going to win on Sunday. Hate to say it. Okay, now let's go to tight end. George Kittle on FanDuel is super low, so no surprise here on DraftKings, low as well. 5,900. Gronk is 5,300. You're right. Wow, Foster Moreau is so cheap. 2,700. And then what team is James O'Shaughnessy on? Is he on Jacksonville? That's 2,600 I see here.
Yeah, James O'Shaughnessy is on Jacksonville. That's basically just Dan Arnold, right? No, I don't think anyone, I don't even know if Dan Arnold's family thinks that Dan Arnold is like a really, really good football player. He just kind of happened to land in the right spot at the right time. The Jaguars trade for him. By the way, after James O'Shaughnessy got injured in week one, O'Shaughnessy had seven targets, played 85% of the snaps in week one. He goes out, Dan Arnold comes in and plays the exact same role. Now, Dan Arnold gets hurt, James O'Shaughnessy comes back. You do the math. And the reason why I mention him is our guy Foster Moreau, 6 for 60 and a touchdown in the last game that Darren Waller missed. He played 100% of the snaps in that game. Waller out for this week for the Las Vegas Raiders. He is just going to be your stone-cold chalk option on DraftKings, so we get a little bit of a pivot there with O'Shaughnessy for tournaments. I am pretty into playing Rob Gronkowski this week on DraftKings, especially with Tom Brady. I feel like he will, anytime a guy gets that big of a price hike, he went from 4,400 to 5,300, you just don't see the ownership follow them all that often. And, you know, we have a reasonable projection on him, but Moreau is just going to eat so much of the ownership at tight end that I think Gronk looks like an appealing leverage play. And Kittle, I could see Kittle having the best game of his career here against Seattle, right? A defense that can't cover anybody. Debo's out. Jimmy Garoppolo only throws to the middle of the field. He never throws outside, right? And I could see Kittle having like 14 targets, 11 receptions, 120 yards, and two touchdowns here. I just love Kittle this week.
Yeah, I agree. So in a season-long league, if you, like me, if you have Waller, and I have him in both leagues, one league I'm able to pivot and put Ertz in. I actually have Ertz in both, but I'm even thinking of maybe using Ertz in a flex because it's just I'm just desperate. And so who would be like your top tight end to pick up if that was the case? Because, you know, you make a really compelling case for O'Shaughnessy. If he is just Dan Arnold, I'm getting five receptions for 50 yards, like pretty much locked in. I think the other options I saw were Cook out there as a possibility. I was like, not feeling that great about that. Like, who were like the low level tight end pickups like O'Shaughnessy?
Yeah, I mean, Cook, I do think Cook could be okay. I mean, look, you know, he's going to be on the field about 50% of the snaps. You're just kind of looking for a little bit of touchdown deodorant there. I think he seems fine. I think O'Shaughnessy does seem pretty good, and he should be out there. I mean, he should just be available in pretty much every single league. Cole Kmet against the Bears, if he's out there in your leagues, you know, he's got like a 90% snap share there. But it does get pretty thin, you know, because outside of those guys, you're looking at CJ Uzama might be out there. Cameron Brate might be out there, which is surprising because Brate, with Gronk back last week and playing all of those snaps, Brate still was in the game a ton for Tampa Bay, you know, and he got targeted four times. So maybe you hope to get a little bit of that touchdown deodorant with Cameron Brate.
All right. So there you have it. Our first look, or, you know, obviously our Friday look here at DraftKings. And coming up in about 30 minutes, Jim Sannis from NumberFire is going to join us, and we will go through the slate over on FanDuel. As a reminder, Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch our weekend edition of Fantasy Sports Today. And this Sunday, it's going to be Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker, those two guys together. I will be working the Pro Football Today side of it, as Dane is on vacation this week. So it will be myself and Mike Blewett and Dave Sharapan, George Kurtz, and our cast of characters looking at all the games from a point spread perspective. That's coming up this Sunday right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. Plenty more to come, including
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Brett going over some of our DFS options in the NBA tonight. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Washington football team making the announcement about 15 minutes ago, Davis, J.D. McKissic, the very dynamic and versatile running back that is startable in every fantasy league, is an RB2 for sure. J.D. McKissic out for this week. Tough, tough one as he goes against the Las Vegas Raiders. And Davis, the Raiders have had all kinds of problems stopping the run. So you would assume that this is a great matchup for Antonio Gibson this week and maybe a little bit more Jared Patterson. But I think in a situation now that Washington still thinks they can make it, we're going to see a ton of Gibson this week.
Yeah, we are going to see loads and loads of Antonio Gibson this week. I was just working on our projections when we were there at break, and I have Antonio Gibson for just a hair over 80 rushing yards and 35 receiving yards, about 0.8 touchdowns. Just, I mean, like, you know, 19, 20 fantasy points. This is going to be honestly probably very similar to what we saw from Antonio Gibson in that that primetime game against Seattle. He just is going to get the ball first down, second down, and is going to get lots of check downs on third down. So We like to see that. And another little injury update here. The Saints fear that Taysom Hill has the same finger injury that Russell Wilson had, that torn tendon in his finger. So it could have been, I think, probably grand opening, grand closing for the Taysom Hill as starting quarterback experience for the New Orleans Saints.
Wow. So, yeah, back to Simeon, I guess. Go the Saints. We'll keep an eye on that one for sure throughout the show. But coming up next, we got Chris with the update here at the top of the hour, and then we'll get into our headlines. We'll have the latest on Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown and sort of where the Bucs go from here. Also preview the NBA slate as well. And we'll hear from Jim Sannis as we go over the DFS schedule, the daily fantasy schedule over on FanDuel. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We're here on Fantasy Sports Today for you every weekday from noon to 2 Eastern. If you play fantasy football, this is your one-stop shop. By the way, if you play fantasy baseball, we'll be hitting on that as the new year comes as well. More Fantasy Sports Today right around the corner. Stay on the grid. Don't go away. Great.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.